the buffalo. I haven't seen a trace of laughter or a smile. Inside me, too young to care at all. I'd been tossed and rolled around before I'd heard my 20s call. Aberdeen, you were all I'd seen. A boat afraid of the land of gold. Hey, loneliness seemed to be my friend again. I miss your tears alongside my own. Just because I left, it doesn't mean it's over yet. You see, since way back then I've grown.
Spirit of the West in there, opening track from the very first album. And the guy who sang lead vocals on there is in the studio with me this morning, Jay Knutson. Welcome.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. That's bright and early for you to come all the way from Salt Spring. I guess you came in last night.
I did. I actually came in yesterday morning
before the ferries were cut off.
Before they stopped running. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit worried when I see Carlos Nunez last night. They were in Victoria the night before, thinking, are they here? But they made it.
It was a little rocky out there in the old state. But not too bad in the morning. It got a little bit worse in the afternoon.
Well, it was crazy. Just suddenly kicked up, didn't it? But, exciting times. Looking back at those early days of Spirit of the West, that's really what got me involved in this business, was seeing you guys at the Railway Club all those years ago. And now the Railway Club has reopened as the Railway, and just this week. So that's good news. I don't know how much live music they're going to put on there, but there were some pretty important bands that played at the Railway Club over the years.
There was. We were thrilled when we got the first gig there, I remember very distinctly. In fact, we did that Saturday afternoon music session to begin with.
Oh, did you?
That was kind of it was an ongoing audition for about 2 or 3 months before we actually got the evening slot. So we were very happy, and it's great to see that they're reopening and doing music there again, because it was an iconic place in Vancouver for a long, long time. And
80 years or something. And then it shut down. He's like, you can't do that.
Yeah, and we saw some great shows there.
I'll say.
Yeah, really lovely.
I used to go in there after work, and that's where I saw you guys. I thought, oh, Barney Bentall, I know him. I'll stick around for that. And you were opening for him.
Mm.
And then I got talking to Jeffrey, and then he opened up his enormous record collection, which must be ridiculously enormous by now, because that was over 30 years ago.
Yes, and it is several warehouses.
He owns half of North Vancouver now, does he? Yeah. But, yes, it's great to sort of listen to those old sounds. I mean, you've actually brought in a remix of some music from the first album and some live footage of the concert where I got the worst round of applause in history, because you were sharing the bill with Uncle Bonsai at the Culch, and you guys went on first, and you'd done the encores, and they said, well, we can't go out again to tell them we're not doing any more songs. You'll have to go out. So they thrust me onto the stage, and everybody went, boo! It was really horrible.
Yeah, that was also a big step for the band in its formative years, was getting to play the Culch, because we had seen people like Richard Thompson there, like Pierre Ben Suzanne, a lot of artists that were really influential, I think, in the early days for us. And when we had a chance to play there, we were thrilled. And we decided we wanted to record it. And coincidentally enough, when we had spoken a few weeks ago, Ron Vermeulen, who was doing our sound at that time and had done the recording, a.k.a. Ron Obvious, had recorded that. And he had contacted me and said, I've remixed and remastered that show, as well as the very first album, which was never really kind of formally released on any label. It was just one that we sold at shows.
Yeah.
And so he sent me the whole remix thing, the list of, which we have there. And it was really fun. It was really fun to go through that. He also left all of the kind of onstage banter, which I had a few cringing moments, and including probably your encore delivery.
Oh, great!
But it was great fun. Like, it was a real nice little visit back to a time that was, you know, like I said, really informative, really the beginning of it all for Spirit of the West.
Yeah, well, when Jeffrey played with the Paperboys for a fundraiser for St. James the other week, he told me about this, and he was really excited about it. He says, "Oh, we're getting in touch with Jay. He's got the Masters. We'd love to put a track on it if we're doing a 30th anniversary celebration of the Rogue, then we'd love to be on there."
Well, you were always a part of that at the beginning, so it'd be it's great for us to we'd be thrilled to have it on there and be a part of that, because it was that time when it was everyone was just kind of dipping their foot in the water to see, you know, how it felt and see where it was going. We hadn't really defined anything about that sound. And the great thing about the Railway Club is you could hear a folk band, and then the next night you'd hear something that would be heavy, and it would be all the music forms in between. And it's it wasn't a particular audience that was particular to a sound or a genre, and it was really explorative for us. And
it was incredible, because you'd get bands like Los Lobos and Katie Lang would play there and stuff, and it was just, it's ridiculous thinking about it now, but at the time it made sense because there wasn't anywhere else to play, and why would you want to play anywhere else, because that was the coolest place in town, even if only 25 people could actually see the stage.
Well, that was the thing. It wasn't the best layout. The sound could be sketchy at times, but it was the room and the vibe, and you know, the real statics, and who knew who'd show up there. I mean, God, Radiohead, well, two of the members were there. It was a really interesting, any night you just never quite knew what was gonna happen, transpire. So
it was very exciting to just wander up there, because that's how I came up on Spirit of the West. You were opening for Barney, and then, you know, I didn't know you from anybody, and it was just, oh, I remember stuff like this from the early days for me, you know, in England. So yeah,
two guys on acoustic guitars and a tin whistle, and and there you go,
down memory lane. That's right. Yeah, it's great stuff. But now Spirit are not doing anything new, so you can legitimately look back at the old days at a particular snapshot of history.
Yeah, kind of what goes around comes around, and with the advent of the film that was released with Spirit Unforgettable that Pete McCormick had just done, and it's been through the various film festivals, as well as now, I guess, on HBO and such. But it was a real, not only a great story, compelling story, a sad story in John's case, of course, but very uplifting. And that whole spirit aspect of it was preeminent through. Yeah. And consequently, I looked back and thought, you know, if that's the end of the road for those tunes, for those incarnations, it'd be nice to be able to keep at least the songs going and the spirit going.
Yeah.
So we'll see how we continue to visit that, because I don't think that anyone involved in the project wanted to see it just stopped, although clearly the band, you know, is not going to continue to perform.
No, and obviously they went in other directions as well, but that was a snapshot where you could look back and say, well, this is what happened, this is how the scene sort of developed around the Railway Club and beyond, and got people interested in all kinds of roots music, and spirit being a very important word. I remember used to say, are you ready, spirits? Spirits up.
It was Doogie McLean actually coined the name Spirit of the West when he thought that our name was pretty weak, and it was pretty weak. We were called Eavesdropper prior to that, and after being introduced as Eavesdroppings one evening, we decided that maybe we needed a change. Doogie said, well, listen, lads, you know, you should really think about doing something that has, you know, the spirit of Western Canada, something, and we just thought Spirit of the West, that's a great name for the record. We'll keep that what should we call the band? He said, no, no, Spirit of the West. Go with Spirit of the West. And I'm not sure that the wives liked it so much. It was exemplified in the film. But we went with it anyway. And then it's like anything else. People became comfortable, gravitated around that. And then we really did use the spirit, you know, in its intended way. We tried to keep it going through, so...
And you certainly, yeah, it's great. I just think back to those days of seeing people leaping about, dancing to you. Before Expo opened, the year before, you were playing in the bandstand, which is still there, the band shell. Nobody uses it for anything. It's across the road from Science World. But it's, I have good, fond memories of that place.
Well, Expo 86 was the most, I think, that we had ever worked.
Yeah.
We were doing three or four shows a day. Yeah. And out of the 6 months that Expo ran, we were booked for four of them.
Wow.
And those 2 months that we took off, we were doing festivals in other places right in the heart of the summer. Right. So we were there rain, shine, every day. And it was such, because the audience is different all of the time.
Good.
Every show was different. So it wasn't like you were playing in the same place to the same people. It was a fantastic opportunity to really open the doors. And we had just released our first independently released album at that vinyl album at that
Tripping
time.
Tripping Up the Stairs. Yeah.
So in that, actually, it was the first one. Tripping Up the Stairs hadn't come out yet.
Oh, it was just
in the formative stages. We were doing some writing, and during the course of that tenure at Expo, that's when Hugh had come in too. So towards the end, we had Hugh come up to do a set or two. Mm-hmm. By the end of Expo, he was in like Flint. So we had the four piece set, started off with three, ended up with four, and that's the way it continued. So.
And I think the first time you played as a four piece was at the Savoy, opening for the Oyster Band, I think, just as an experiment. One of the first gigs you did was as a quartet inside, was at the Savoy, and it was one of our shows again, and that was a memorable night, too.
Kind of fun. The Savoy was, Janet ran that as well. Janet Forsyth ran that as well.
Indeed.
And, between those two clubs, that was pretty much our home base.
Oh, that's what we started as the Rogue as well, and then they sold it a year later, which was a bit unfortunate. But then we moved to the Railway for one very, very large audience for Lorena McKennitt in there. We thought, we can't do this. We had to go someplace else. And I guess we ended up then at the Wise Club, and then... St. James Hall these days, but it's a long history, but Spirit of the West very much part of the roots of it all, so thank you for that.
Ah, it's our pleasure.
Anyway, so we've got another track here from Spirit of the West. I'm going to be preempted for the last half hour of the show, and the clock out there stopped, but we've got about half an hour left on this show, so got another track here from that Tripping Up the Stairs album. Just before we do that, I remember... There was a bit of a problem at Expo. There was the Folklife Pavilion, which had all kinds of great music from all across Canada, but they wouldn't book Spirit of the West. And Connie Calder is a good friend of ours. She's played the club lots of times, and she thought, this is wrong. So she got up on the Folklife stage, and she said, well, you know, I've played here lots, so I'm just going to give the stage over to these guys.
Yeah,
and Spirit of the West played at the Folklife.
We were big fans of Connie's prior to that. There was a lot of people that wouldn't book Spirit of the West.
Actually, there wasn't that many.
We were kind of too punky for the folkies, and we were a little bit too folky for the punks, and it drifted in between.
Yeah.
But at that stage, like I said, there was nothing. We threw a lot of stuff against the wall to see what would stick.
Right.
And gradually we got far more... We were far more inclined to write our own material and concentrate on what we wanted to say. Apart from the whole spirit and the delivery of what we wanted to do, we were adamant about making the songs relevant to where we came from, the stories of the West Coast, the things that we could relate to, rather than singing about songs from the Civil War or from the East Coast or from Europe. And it was a huge part of the drive and the evolution as songwriters for everyone in the group. But Connie was fabulous to let us do that, because otherwise we wouldn't have got a foot in the door. We were on the bandstands and in front of the White Spot and a few other places, but we didn't get our feet inside of Folklife. So when we did get the opportunity, we rose to the occasion. Roy Forbes was also really helpful at that point.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, incidentally, if anybody's into radio land, Roy Forbes is a special guest on Paul Norton's show What the Folk tomorrow on Co-op Radio, because Paul's celebrating 40 years of broadcasting at Co-op Radio tomorrow. He's doing the three shows back-to-back. He's doing the 1 o'clock jump, jazz show, and then In the Pines, a bluegrass show, and followed with What the Folk. And Roy Forbes is his guest in the last show of that triple series. So congratulations, Paul. 40 years on one radio station. Different shows, but he's 40 years. I'm 32 on here, which is quite a long time. But It's nothing compared to that, is it? It's amazing.
Well, that's quite something too.
It is.
A testament.
It's, it's kind of nice that you've actually come in this week. Actually, you played at the Rogue at the end of last year with Gabrielle Dubreuil, and you sang Aberdeen with Gab. And so there's a new sort of expanded band now. Ben Kelly from the Fish and Bird, and Jeffrey Kelly's son is now playing percussion with this. And you're going to be playing some more early Spirit of the West material in there, do you think?
Yeah, I think after having dipped our foot in that water for a little bit, and just given the response of a lot of the people that could relate to that, certainly from my generation, it was really nice to revisit some of those tunes, and pretty special to play. Realize when I'm closing my eyes, it felt pretty much the same thing. That spirit was still there. It was the energy. It had all of those things. When I opened my eyes, I realized I was playing the sons of the people that I was originally involved in. So that it kind of smacked immortality. But outside of that, it was great to revisit. And songs, you know, they transport. I think if you've been involved in the writing, they transport you to a time and a place. It's like a movie every time you're going through them in your mind. And to be able to go back and revisit that those times and places, it was really, really cool. So I've enjoyed doing a lot of the material from the first few albums, and we'll continue to do that over the summer, fall season. So
that's great. Our music is this great time machine, and we're going to step back into the time machine now, and we're going to go back to the Railway Club when it was the Railway Club, when Tripping Up the Stairs was the first Stony Plain release for Spirit of the West, and this is Our Station. Thanks for coming in, Jake. Great to talk to you again, and we'll see you very soon down the road.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Cheers. All right.
Meet me tonight by the first round. I know a little place that you might not have found. It looks down on the city from the underground. This is our station in the heart of town. At the door, leave the rush out on the street. Lay down your tools, take the weight off your tired feet. Drum chair, strike up a little crack. If you had a lousy day, get the monkey off your back. Some dress for volume, everything's turned up loud. It's a designer's nightmare to stand out in this crowd. Where leather's mixed with tweed, pinstripe with polka dot. Well, that makes no difference in this melting pot. Meet me tonight by the first round. I know a little place that you might not have found. It looks down on the city from the underground. This is our station in the heart of town. They're talking business in the corner, politics at the bar, while the boy's bringing the house down with his electric guitar. She's going crazy on the dance floor. She don't need no help. She's just getting on with being herself. I say hello, old timer. You're looking old against the new. Your sign is still glowing, but the stains are showing through. You're crouched there in the shadows. All around you've watched them grow. But as long as you're still standing, I know where I can go. Where I can go. Meet me tonight, I'll buy the first round. I know a little place that you might not have found. It looks down on the city from the underground. This is our station in the heart of town. Tonight I'll buy the first round. I know a little place that you might not have found.